Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we've been following the ivermectin story very, very closely. We've spoken to professors, we've spoken to physicians, we've spoken the legal side, the medical side, but it is still somewhat perplexing, certainly it is to me, that SAHPRA don't just give the choice to the doctors and their patients. Surely they could focus on other things, let the doctors and the patients decide what to use when. Well, apparently the doctors have launched an interdict to access ivermectin for themselves and for patients. Joining us on the line this morning is General Practitioner Dr. Nasiba Katrada, who will be telling us a little bit more about that. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
So, thank you for having me. A great pleasure. To me, it's still quite perplexing. And I know that there's some reports that say it's good and some reports say it's less good. And I don't even think that matters. Surely the doctors simply should have the options.
Correct. And that is exactly what we're going to court now for. We did have a meeting with SAHPRA. It was a behind closed doors meeting, which we not discussed details. But the meeting wasn't fruitful. So we are going to court with three other groups. And, you know, we are taking this this matter, like you said, we want them to make it available so that doctors can prescribe it and give it to their patients timely.
What is the reason that they are fighting this so hard? It just seems to me to be an incredible waste of time and resources at a time that we shouldn't be doing that. We should be focusing on other things.
That is exactly why we started this in the first place. And I'm not sure if you had a chance to read the letter that I wrote to the president. This is when it all started for me. When I was, looking around to friends and colleagues and the nurses, the doctors were exhausted. You're seeing 60, 80 patients a day. People were dying all around us. And we didn't have anything to give hope back to the patients. Even if a person was going to die and they know that the family members or you know that you did everything that you could to save that family member, that gives hope back, to the patients. And as doctors, we are fighting this war against this virus, going in very scantily armed, so literally we're building a plane and we're trying to fly it at the same time. So we are attacking the virus with everything that we can because it is something new. And it's when I say new, it's now over a year old. And you know what the sad reality is? That vaccines are not a tangible reality for majority of South Africans in the next few months.
Of course.
But what is a tangible reality? Death. Death of family members, death of patients, death of loved ones. That is tangible. And unfortunately, I have to agree with you. I don't know an answer. And I would like to think that it's perhaps they want to follow protocol and there's due process, but you know, with all due respect to all the powers that be, we are in a pandemic.
Absolutely, this is not a time for that. This is almost you need to move on to a war footing. A war footing is very, very different. You make different decisions. You obviously sometimes have to take shorter cuts. Maybe there's a little bit of risk associated with it, but there's also risk, huge risk, in not doing anything. Not doing anything is actually a decision, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the right one. You know, you can call it prudent, but sometimes it's not.
Well, that's what we were saying, right? So if they say, for example, they grant us access to ivermectin, because we know it's a 40-year-old drug, it's a safe drug. What happens in 6 week time when you have new data to say it's not effective? So what have you lost? You have lost a little bit of money. And I say a little bit because you know ivermectin is so cheap. In fact, it is so cheap that it is more expensive to make a fake ivermectin tablet than to make the real.
That's incredible.
What happens if in 6 weeks' time you suddenly find out that it is a very effective drug, and we're looking at between some studies show more than 90%, And at worst case, you're looking at a 35% efficacy, which means that 3 out of 10 people at worst you could have saved over the next 6 weeks. Whose responsibility is that these people are dying? And that's our concern. We're saying it's type 1 error or type 2 error. Which one do you want to be responsible for? And who's responsible for that?
Yeah, Clive, one of our listeners says hydroxychloroquine is $11, remdesivir is $3,000. Isn't that the answer? Isn't it because of what you're saying, that it is so cheap? Look, I'm not a great conspiracy theorist about Big Pharma and all of that. It just generally, I don't know why, it doesn't sit comfortably with me. I get it. It does seem very strange that we've got this drug that is cheap, that we know won't do any harm because it's been used for years, and best case is it can help a number of people. Worst case is it does absolutely nothing. But therefore, what's the downside? What have we got to lose?
Except people's lives.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I was hoping that yesterday, Sona, when the president spoke, and you know, there was this, it suddenly dawned on me when they're talking about the whole ESCOM fiasco. Mm. It's taken years of being in the dark, literally of being in the dark, for the light bulb to be switched on somewhere where they said, now we're going to look to independent power providers.
Yeah, well, good morning.
Mm. Guys, it's taken you that while. Please, let's not make the same mistake with the vaccines. We're going down the same road, right? Because firstly, we had the whole fiasco of we didn't order in time. Then we do get this spike where we get these expensive vaccines coming from India, which, you know, the whole fiasco with expired.
Absolutely.
And then now they've suddenly, and that was another shocking thing. I did a table yesterday, which I circulated on social media. Firstly, I want to say we're not anti-vax. And like I said earlier, a vaccine is not in the tangible future for the majority of South Africans. In fact, we now, from getting for everybody, we went to getting for just the healthcare workers in the first rollout, we now getting 80,000.
Yeah, I was thinking, what's 80,000 going to do? It doesn't touch science.
But let me just tell you a little bit more. So you know that one of the reasons why SAHPRA, why we have to go through a Section 21 application is because ivermectin is not registered in South Africa, but the vaccine's not registered either. But ivermectin has been registered previously, but because it was used for scabies, lice, and parasites, and the demand for those things were not a lot, Merck, which is now MSD, pulled out from the country, and they were still giving it out freely across Africa. In fact, 4 billion doses were given out freely for use in river blindness. And then, so both currently ivermectin, know the vaccine is registered. But why the government puts all their eggs in one basket where all the top scientists, all the virologists are all looking to the vaccine. I'm like, guys, there must be something out there in the meantime. Let's look at things that we can add. Maybe not as effective alone, but combined, they can be very efficacious. And the reason why we can give vaccines next week is because it takes about 12 weeks for emergency use access. We've got no time because the government promised vaccines to be rolled out next week. So what have they done? Very cleverly, they have now added on this vaccine rollout to a trial that has been done. So they added on an arm to a study. But okay, fine, that's great. You know what? You found a way, a loophole, so that you can get it. Why find a loophole for a vaccine that's maximum 60% efficacious that we know of when you haven't done anything from top down to make other things available? Everything else is a fight for the doctors or the public to the government. But for vaccines, it comes from the government telling us what we have to do. Why does it have to be such a hypocritical discrepancy between the two?
Absolutely. It just doesn't make sense. One of our listeners, Roland, says, keep on fighting the good fight, doctor, judging by the no-nonsense determination in your voice. I'd hate to be on your wrong side.
I get that a lot.
I have no doubt. But you know what? This is when it's important, because we do need to focus. We do need people focusing on the right fights at the moment.
But you know what? The thing is, if you, like you said, you, where's the answer? Give us a tangible reason. And we have, and they have given it us. I've been on interviews with Dr. Sibete, live interviews, and she says there isn't enough data. And then she insists about the dosing story. And I say, every single time, we are not asking for it to be on the protocol. When there's enough data, it should be on the protocol. It should be given out. We are just saying, give us the choice. She's a biochemist. She's not a doctor. Has she sat in front of a patient, sitting there examining them, telling them?
It's so interesting. It's so interesting that you say that. Is we get daily updates from Dr. Anton Marburg, who's a pulmonologist, and I do a record a podcast with him once a week on it. And he over and over again, he makes the point that you've just made, saying, clinical medicine is when you're in the wards and you're fighting for people and you're fighting to keep people alive is so different to somebody sitting in an office making decisions around treatment, that you've got to see what's happening in front of you to really understand how things work. And again, our view is just untie the doctor's hands, the medical practitioner's hands. Let them have the choices of what to use. Let them discuss it with patients so that together, and as you say, it does give people hope. Maybe they can't afford remdesivir. Maybe there's a reason, that just why not? What have we got to lose through all of this? It is so perplexing and for someone like yourself must be so enormously frustrating.
Well, I invited them. I said, why didn't they come down and spend time with one of the doctors? I'm not even talking about in a hospital. I'm talking about in the general practitioner's rooms. We have never had been faced with a time where the hospitals were so full that we are managing patients on oxygen at home. I got a call once from a friend of mine. She's a physician in a private hospital, that the private hospital had no ventilators. Mm. And somebody dies, then it's your turn next. The family was so desperate. They said they will buy one and give it to the hospital. I sourced a ventilator for somebody for 100,000 rand to be delivered to the hospital. And by the time I was doing the sourcing, the patient who they needed, her brother died and she got his ventilator. And that is the kind of things that we deal with on a daily basis. And we're asking, give us a drug, give us a pill so that we can at least give hope back to the people. So they know they've tried everything, and that's the difference. There was a movie about Ruth Bader Ginsburg one of the professors said in one of her lectures, he said, a court ought not be affected by the weather of the day, but will be by the climate of the era. We are in a pandemic. That's the era that we're in. And if policy is supposed to be a certain way, and like you said, if last year, January, if somebody wanted to give ivermectin, I can understand. We can have a big fight about it because what's the need? But we're not in last year, January. It's like literally a huge difference between what happened last year, this time, and this year. So we have to change according to the climate of the era. And the public sentiment has changed. And we live in a fishbowl. If I put a story out today, people, I get a comment from my aunt in Australia within hours. How the world is. So I don't have to tell the public that that ivermectin works. The public comes and tells me. My patients come and ask me. They'll say, Dr. Kapp, but I saw this on somebody's Facebook page and they said they survived or they did really well and they're taking vitamin C and ginger and whatever. I can get everything where I can't get ivermectin. Can you get me some? And then, the story, there's no such a thing as bad publicity. So any publicity is publicity. And when Safra banned the drug on the 22nd of December, it literally just blew out of proportion. And we can't even compare it to hydroxychloroquine because the difference with that is we were still allowed to give it because it is up till now, if a doctor wants to give it, they can.
Absolutely.
And then there's the whole thing about their choice. With ivermectin, they literally, like you said, tied our hands. And then we have to just watch as people buy it off the black market for like 20 and 30 times the normal price. And then people are desperately sending me messages on Facebook because they know that we're fighting this fight and they desperately ask, what dosage do I take? And it's not that simple with ivermectin. It's not like popping two Panado. It's worked out by weight.
Per weight. Mm.
And we are so confident in its effectiveness that we need to give the person the correct dose once off or one day three and every 2 weeks for prophylaxis. But if you are sub-dosing, so if you're a 100-kilo person is taking 12 milligrams, that's not enough. And then we've seen cases where people get, they'll send a message, say, my family were on ivermectin and my brother-in-law or whatever is now positive. And then you ask them questions, so what were they taking? They found this on the street and this is how much, what's his weight? 97. What was he taking? 12 milligrams. And then we're like, guys, but that's not the right dose. But we have to get control back. And the only way we get control back is that if they allow us to give it legally. I can't even keep tablets in my practice because I'll get arrested.
Absolutely. And I don't have them. The absurd. So what are the next steps? You've been having meetings. You've sent letters. You're pushing this. What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, we're going to court, right? So, we did a joinder application with AfriForum and ACDP last week and last week Monday, and SAPRA opposed the application saying that we came in too late, et cetera, et cetera. So we withdrew our application and we made our own application. So not as a joinder. So we're going in with our own, relief sought, and then another group called SOS also joined, and the court ruled that all ivermectin cases be heard on the same day so that it's expedites the process and we don't waste too much more time. So there's four groups going in. We've all handed in our founding affidavits. I've learned so much of law. I think I can start the work. So I represent a group called I Can Make a Difference, and we are a group of doctors and healthcare workers. And the relief that we're seeking from the court is to make it available per script as opposed to Section 21, and they must give us approved sources immediately so that we can – don't tell me to fill in a form that takes me an hour. And then promise me a 24-hour turnaround.
I found that incredible. During a pandemic, I mean, as I've said, I'm close to a number of people working on the front lines. They don't have 5 minutes. They don't have time to have a drink of water. Now they're going to sit down and fill in a form for an hour in order to get permission to use a drug that it's just absurd.
You know what I wanted to do yesterday? I was in the car and I heard the new Nando's advert that said that you can order your food in 20 seconds. I wanted to write a letter to Nando's publicly asking them to please, can they send their tech department, lend us their tech department so they can sort out SAPRA's section 21.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can buy food in 20 seconds, but it takes, and let me just tell you that 24-hour turnaround, I've made 4 applications thus far. I haven't got a single approval. The first two that I did when they were still called Section 21 before the name just changed to Compassionate Controlled Access. When I was with Dr. Simete on an interview, and I said to her in the interview that you haven't even replied. You didn't even give me an acknowledgement of receipt. And then she goes, oh no, that's unacceptable. And this was a week after, right? And then I get an email.
Well, thank goodness it's not a matter of life and death.
No, of course. And also I get to speak to her. I had the opportunity to speak to her on this public forum, and that's when I got a response. And the response said that that SAPRA is still reviewing ivermectin, and I'll get to know later on. When we had our meeting and I brought it up again, I'm like, guys, I still haven't got a response. And now one of my patients has died. I'm still waiting, and he died. And then my 3 other applications, I'm still waiting for even an acknowledgement from the 2 under the Compassionate Control Access Program. So where's the 24 to 48-hour turnaround? And then they said they're going to give us a list of where to get the drugs from. And that is also such a laugh because the list got 5 places. Bangladesh, I think it was New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. And the last one was a South African company. We tried for 3 days to get hold of South African company because you have to put the correct place you're getting it from on the form. And that too, we find out by, it's like a miracle. No one there's nothing written on the form. There's no guidelines about filling it in. And the shocking thing is, I mean, I can go to NetFlorist or the new Metro website. I have to log in once as a person with my ID number and email address, et cetera, et cetera. When you do this online application, every single time I apply, I got to put in my name, my address, my HTCSA number.
Absolutely crazy. Unfortunately, I do need to end it here. We need to go to traffic and then to the news. I would love to have a follow up with you maybe next week. Hear how this is going. I think this is such a it's so significant and so important to us all. If we could arrange that would be great. That was the general practitioner, Dr. Nasiba Katrada, talking to us about doctors launching an interdict to access ivermectin for themselves and for patients.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.